We're going to begin tonight. Hope you brought your Bible with you. I had some of the outlines. If you don't have a copy of that, would you maybe just find somebody that has one, get next beside them? It'll be a good reason to sit close to somebody. And I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to do this Sunday morning. Brother Ron's waving the tithing envelope at me so I don't forget to take the offering tonight. This coming Sunday morning is a very special service. Two things that we're going to be doing in the service. We're going to have a baby dedication, and then we are taking in new members to the local church body. And I had some printouts and some information about our church. It doesn't matter if you're a member or not a member of the church. We just like to offer it. That way the commitments back to each other, back and forth to one another, become stronger, and we just can work together better, and we can use the help with the teaching, and we can use the help when it comes time to business affairs of the church. Once you become a member, you can help us make voting decisions and things like that. So I want you to pray about it. We have already had some talk to me that will be coming to join our church Sunday. And I have a few handouts that I brought with me tonight, if that's something that you would consider, or you know a friend or somebody. I'll meet with them a little bit of time just before the Sunday service, and all the handout information is available so they can read through it. Nothing hidden about it. It's nothing. There's no long drawn out situation about it. We just want to offer that. And then Sunday evening, because we do have a Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock, we've been doing birthday cake and anniversary cake once a month, and we've usually been doing it on the last Sunday of the month. But because we did the baby dedication and the new membership this coming Sunday, we're going to do the anniversary cake and birthday cake Sunday night after church. Everyone's welcome. We'll have a time of just having some punch and some things and some cake together and things like that. Just a time of fellowship is all it is. And then the last Sunday of this month, because we have 5 Sundays, we like to set that one aside on that Sunday night to do an all-sing night. So whoever has a song on their heart that wants to sing, doesn't matter if it's a cappella, doesn't matter if it's with the piano, the organ, accompaniment tape, or whatever it is, we just want to get together and worship the Lord. We have some calendars out back on the table. You can help yourself to a calendar to see what else is going. And then we're going to get into February and start all over with new things. So we want to go to the Lord and get ready to do the Bible study. And I'm going to let you save the offering time till the end. Somebody wave me down before I forget at the very end, though. So we'll make some time for that. Getting into the Bible series. We just began this last week. Kind of a preview. We didn't get too far into it. The title of the series that the Lord was kind of working with me on is something very simple, but yet it's very deep. Talking kindly will help you walk in the spirit of kindness. Now, I don't know about you, but you and I are living in a time and in a world where it seems like the heart of kindness is getting farther and farther away from mankind. And we need to go in and remember the Word of God. One of the key verses that I was using as a text verse is Proverbs 25:11. It's actually one of the verses that means a great deal to me. And it talks about how important it is to fit the right word where it belongs. The scripture simply says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Last Wednesday night, I gave away some apples, and I gave away some word find books. And I brought some things with us tonight. We talked about last week the puzzles, how if you've ever had a jigsaw puzzle and you tried to fit a piece that didn't quite fit, you could thumb it down, but it would pop back up. And, you know, our words are just like that. you can actually say a word that seems on the surface to be the right word, but if your heart's not in it, it's just not simply the right word that could be encouragement to somebody, for yourself or someone else. The apples, I gave you 10 reasons why the apple is really a healthy benefit to the body. And then I saw that in Scripture that Jesus gave us His word just exactly for that reason. It's a health benefit to our spirit. It's a health benefit to our physical body and to our mental state. So you can see it coming together. The words that are fitly spoken are like apples. That's healthy for us. The next part, now I honestly tried to do this. My goal was this. And you just remember that it's a thought that counts, because I couldn't come through with this. But I went to two different banks, and my desire tonight was I was going to give everybody that was in attendance tonight, I was going to give you a gold dollar. I honestly was. I promise I was, and I went to two different banks, and I could not get those. So the next best thing I could do is I could bring you some candy that has gold wrapper on it. Go to the post office. I'll have to. That's where I need to go. So next time I'll know that. But I wanted to speak just a minute about the gold. A word fitly spoken. And now I got you excited because I said candy, but you'll have to wait for it. But you will get some. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. You know, the Bible talks about gold. You can find gold in Genesis. One of the river heads that was flowing out of Genesis, it says that there was gold in that river. You can also find gold in the book of Revelations when it talks about the streets of gold that you and I will get to walk on when heaven becomes our home. Gold is something pure. Gold is also something soft. It's a soft metal. It's pliable. And you can find a lot of things, trinkets, even around cars, even around different things. You can find gold plate on a lot of different things because it has a shine and it has a quality to it that just brings attraction and attention. But I wanted to let you think about the gold, about the words that you and I speak. The Scripture says that you and I literally have the power of life and death in our tongue. You can go to the book of James and you can read about the very small member of our body being a tongue, but yet it can do, the Bible says, such a fire the tongue can kindle. And so it's a very important part of who you are, and it's an important part of who I am. And you can see the effects today, because if the Scripture is true that fitly spoken words are like apples of gold and settings of silver, think about the unfitly spoken words. You ever had an apple sit out on your counter and start to rot? You go to pick it up and it's just a sponge. It's got brown spots on it. If it's in the heat of the summertime and you have that happen, you'll also attract some nice little gnats and flies that will come around. Also, if it goes on beyond that, you'll get to smell an odor. Nobody in this room, I believe, would want rotten apples, I don't believe. But you and I have sat in here. I'm standing, you're sitting. I want you to think about words and how they've affected you, because all of us in this auditorium tonight have had some rotten words spoken to us, over us, about us. And just like that apple, it's bruised us. But the good thing is Jesus came. He gave us His word. You need to have gold in your spirit when you think about talking to one another. And I want you to think about that. The two candies, I'll show you the candy. That ought to tempt you a little bit more. I brought two different kinds of candy. One's hard candy, and it's the butterscotches, but they're wrapped in somewhat looks like gold. And I brought some chocolate and caramel Rolos, and they've got the gold around those. And I have more than one package, so I'll open those up here in a little bit. And you can get a little treat to remind you of how much gold Jesus has towards you. What I want to do tonight is I want to go in our Bibles. Let's look at the second text verse together. If you have the handout, the verse is written out for you, but I do like when you go into your own Bible and look it up. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, I'd like to go there. Could anybody stand to have more kindness in their hearts? Would it be nice to have more kindness around you? Luke 6, verse 35. At the end of this verse, I saw something that just kind of set up in my spirit when I read it. And by the way, my Bible shows that this is red lettering, so this is what Jesus had to say. Verse 35 of Luke chapter 6 says this: "Love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be called the children of the highest." This is the part I want you to hear. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." He is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Jesus is kind to people that even don't have any thanks. Have you ever given something away to somebody and all you really wanted them was to acknowledge that you gave them something in a way that you saw thankfulness in them? And it's very hard for you and I sometimes to walk up to people who constantly are unthankful, no matter how many times you try to help them, no matter how many times you try to do good things for them. But Jesus had a quality that was revealed in his word, that he was kind to the unthankful. He didn't go across the street just because somebody unthankful came walking by. He was going out of his way to spend time even with the unthankful and to the evil. I mean, it's one thing to be unthankful, but then to be involved with somebody that just seems to have evil on their spirit, evil on their mind, doesn't have a kind word to say about anybody, doesn't have a good thought towards anything that's going on. Jesus set something that went totally against what our flesh will do. Our flesh will react without Christ being inside of us. Our flesh will react if somebody's unthankful of something that we do for them. We mentally make a check and we say, "I'm not going back to do anything good for them again." If we see somebody that's done evil or perhaps done evil to us, they even become a greater check mark in our life, and we say, "They hurt me once, but they won't hurt me again." But I want to remind you tonight that the church has responsibility. The world is not going to be kind to the church, but the church is to be kind to the world. The sinner is not always going to be thankful when you give them a gift and a token and a gesture of love. But even when they receive it with unthanksgiving in their heart, the church needs to go back out and continue to witness for the Lord. And we need this in our spirit. In today's society, tempers are shorter, lives are more stressful, time commitments are restrained, and it's not that you get up every day and you just have 10 to 12 hours of the day just to do, you know, in a slow way, in a slow pace. You're busy, we're busy, the church is busy, but Jesus says, take time for kindness. Because it will do something. It will turn the sinful world upside down, and it will cause them to look. If we look exactly like they do, no wonder why they won't come in. If we talk exactly like they do, no wonder why they won't stop to listen. So we need kindness to come back into our hearts. The Lord gave us a way for us to become more like Him. The Bible tells us that if we're going to be disciples, that we should follow after Him. And one of the greatest ways that you can follow after Him is begin to talk like Jesus. You train yourself through the Word of God. There's many scriptures, some of them that I will go through, some I will just let you go through. And I would like for you to take some of your Bible study time And if this topic is something that you feel in your heart that God is saying, you know, you could have more kindness in your life and you could be an instrument of my kindness to somebody else, continue to do this and just begin to study. I want to have some help. If you have your Bible tonight, I'd like for some of you to help me read out some of these scripture passages. It's going to start tonight just by talking. You know what we're doing in the church tonight? The church is becoming kinder by just talking about the spirit of kindness through the Word. If we'll take time to talk about the things of God, it begins to change us. It begins to change the way we think and the way that we do. And we need to line up with the Word of God. Someone that has their Bible, would you turn to Proverbs 19, verse 22? And I'm going to give out about four verses, and I'm just going to call them out. If you get one of them looked up, I'll call out, and the first hand I see, when I call that verse out, I'll ask you to read it. So Proverbs 19:22, I would like that one read. I would like somebody to look up Colossians 3, verse 12. And I would like somebody to look up James chapter 2. And that one's going to be a lengthy one. I want to go ahead and read verses 1 through 9. And then if I could have someone look up Isaiah 54, verse 10. So let me start off. And if you have Proverbs 19, 22, Brother Ryan, I saw your hand. Would you please read that to us?
The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar.
The desire of his man is kindness. There should be something inside of us that when we become born again, Christians of the Lord Jesus, following him, your desire to be something should change. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a great teacher. It doesn't mean that you have to be a great scholar. It doesn't mean that you have to do some great activity. But your desire should be in kindness. And so we're seeing some scriptures that point to the word kindness. And so that's one that you can highlight. Who has Colossians 3, verse 12? Glenda, go ahead.
Holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Read the first part of that again. Just read the whole verse again.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
There's a key there. The scripture in Colossians 3 tells us, put on. Put on something. Well, how do you put anything on? You've got to get it and just put it on your body. How do you put on kindness? How do you put on bowels of mercy? If you have a prayer life and you know that Jesus is inside of your heart, then how we put things on that God tells us to put on is we ask him, Lord, would you help me be dressed this way today? Would you help me to have the spirit of kindness? You ask me to put this on. In other words, if you have to put it on, it's something that you don't have by yourself. And see, you and I have to realize tonight that we might be educated. We might have come from a great family. We might have come from a poor family. We might have come from this town, or we might have come from a town far away. But what we need to realize is that you and I don't have within ourselves the things that God asked us to be or do. So if he says in his word, put on tender kindness, make that something. And he even said the elect of God. So if you want to be somebody that's known as the elect, the one who says I'm committed to him, the one who says I am a disciple, then there's something that you have to do. You have to have a desire, just like Proverbs said, your desire should be for kindness, not for evil. Your desire should be for kindness, not for getting even with somebody else. Your desire should be for kindness so that God can help you put on these tender mercies. So I want you to understand that tonight. We can do that by talking to our Savior. Lord Jesus, help me to be kind today. It's not mind over matter. It's not positive thinking. You have to realize Jesus has given us the ability through Him to be different than ourselves. Put on the tender mercies like Jesus did. Be kind. Be affectionate. Let's go on and read another passage. I believe I gave out James 2, verses 1 through 9. Quite lengthy. Brother Rob, would you read that for us, please?
My brother, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And you have respect to him who wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit you here in a good place. And say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judge of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brother, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them who love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
I know there's a lot in that passage. But really, in what it's breaking down, is it's teaching us that kindness belongs to each person. If we show favoritism, if we respect one person greater than another person, then we are restricting kindness from flowing, and we are restricting the presence of God, because His church is worldwide. His congregation has many different nationalities. His congregation is made up of everyone from the richest to the poorest. And the Lord wants us to understand that His church is representation of Him. And He draws it out because there were some prejudice situations happening in the days that this scripture was written. There were some problems between the Jews and the Gentiles. There were some issues going on between who they would allow in and who they would try to keep out. And Jesus is saying, my gospel is for the world. John 3:16, the very basic verse of our scriptures, to let us know that Jesus came to be a universal Savior. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if I pick up and try to become a judge by looking out at the crowd and saying, you belong here, but you don't, then I'm taking away from John 3:16 that the only qualification to being one of God's children is that you believe in Him. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it gets down to things that we can see today. I remember in school, that there were cliques and there were groups. And if you didn't have the right name brand of clothing on, sometimes you were not treated as other groups would be treated. Even at a teacher level, I observed at different times that even teachers began to get involved in such things like that where, I'm sure I'm not the only one that found different ways in school and different parts of growing up where it seemed like things just didn't seem to be on the same level playing field. But Jesus says, my kindness belongs to each and every person. You can think in the scriptures to the Good Samaritan, different examples, but one showed kindness. It wasn't the priest that showed the kindness. It was the Samaritan who showed the kindness, who stayed on the same street with somebody that had been robbed and beaten and left to die. And you see the act of kindness there. Let's continue looking at a few other places in Scripture. Isaiah 54, verse 10. I believe that was one. Sister Lucille, could you read that for us, please?
For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you.
That ought to make us enjoy knowing who God is towards us, because He said He's got kindness towards us. You know, there are some people that would try to make us feel that God's condemning us, God's judging us, God's being unfair to us. But you know, you have to remember that there's an enemy. And the Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But yet we label God and say, God took that from me. God hurt me this way. God wasn't there for me. But the Scripture there in Isaiah points out to us, He has mercy and kindness towards us. And you know, that ought to help you get up each day and realize that, hey, somebody at work might not be thankful for me. Somebody at work might not give me kindness, but I've got a God who gives kindness to me today, and I can receive that. And that's a wonderful passage of Scripture for us tonight. Did I give any others out? I know there's others listed. I can't remember if I gave any more out. All right. Let me ask and see if somebody has some comments or some things that they might want to share before we go on to the next part. Anybody?
Yes, Proverbs 15 talks about what kind of words you think about. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirs up anger.
That's a very good scripture. How many's ever found that verse to be true? I mean, just be honest. When somebody pushes the right button, it's not usually a soft word or an answer that comes out of our mouth. We usually fight back, and then the war is on. Once anger, there's a reason why the Scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because anger is going to turn into a great time bomb. And the Lord says, defuse it before the sun comes up, because tomorrow, if you still have it, it's going to be a worse day for you and whoever else is involved. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirs up anger. Did Jesus use any soft words? Can anybody think of a soft word that Jesus said? What about when He was on the cross? When He had every right to be angry? And the soft word that He said from the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, one of the hardest things for us as humans to do is to use the word and act that word out of forgiveness. Because your nature of sin is like a magnet, that when anything negative happens, we like to hold on to it. But Jesus, the one who sinned not, came upon the earth, brought the words of goodness, shared His life, went to a cross, and there was crucified for my sins and yours. And just before His spirit left Him, just before He actually died, He said, Father, forgive them. And what He did was He took that soft word and caused you and I to realize that God's not angry at us. That means I can come to Him when I'm sick. I can come to Him when I'm hurting. I can come to Him when I'm lonely. I can come to Jesus when I'm hurting. That's why we're giving our hearts to Him. That's why sinners find Christ, because they find the kindness of His words. It says, if you've got heavy burdens, come to me. If life is too much, come to me. You can actually be born again, rebirth in Him, and start a brand new life in Christ. Did you have another comment? Go ahead.
One of the many kind words that I remember in reading the gospel was that one occasion, we're all familiar with it, is when this lady was caught in adultery.
Yes.
And they were ready to stone her, these people that judged her and were going to kill her and throw stones at her. But Jesus, in handling the situation, looked at them and asked them if they had any sin, then they could cast the first stone, and they left. And Jesus turned around and told this lady, "Who is it that accuses you?" And she says, "None, and neither do I." And neither do I, he said to this lady, and said to go and sin no more. And I thought, if I were that lady sitting there, in all of that humility and all of that fear and all of that guilt, and then have someone like Jesus Christ say those words to me, it would be one of the most comforting and peaceful and comforting, kind words that has ever been spoken to me.
I think it's a real good example because it got very personal. Humiliation is something that weakens us so much when you're in the midst of a group of people. Right or wrong, did the sin or didn't do the sin, to be pointed out, I could just imagine the humiliation in her life. Drug out, knowing that there were a group of people ready to judge her for her sin. But that, while you're talking about that, Brother Ron, it reminds me of that personal place for us. It's a good place for us to remember because we also have an accuser that has tried to accuse us over and over and over again that we're still guilty, we're still horrible and undone. That enemy spirit, when we came to Christ, He did the exact same thing for us, each one at a personal level. The same thing that He did for that woman. He said, "Where are thy accusers?" And when she looked and saw none of them, He told her something very important, though. He said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. So He gave her an expectation. He gave her something to change in her life. And I think that we have some things as a church that we need to come back to and realize that once we find Christ and we've given our heart to Him, He also is going to say to us, go and sin no more. Now praise the Lord, because the Scripture also tells us that if we do sin, we can ask of Him to forgive us of our sins, and He will when we confess our sins to Him. But I think in the days that we're living in, one of the problems within the church and the Christians is that we forgot that after we gave our heart to the Lord, there's an expectation of change to begin to take root in our life. And it's a day-by-day process. It's not a one-shot and done. We have to grow into the things of God simply by doing what we're doing tonight, a Bible study, an intimate setting, just hearing the Word of God begins to work on the inside. The job of the Holy Spirit is to work on us. And all I am is just a voice tonight, speaking the Word of God to you, and you're speaking back. And the good thing about the kind of Bible study that I enjoy like this is the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So when you testify to somebody, you're telling them about Jesus, but at the same time you're telling them, you're sharpening your own heart again. Every time you talk about the things of God, it begins to sharpen you. So These are good things. How can you be kind? Sister Lucille?
Scripture come to my mind that when I was a kid, we all learned it, and I'm sure many of you have too, and that's in Ephesians. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But it doesn't stop there, because it brings in what you're talking about with Christ. Because then it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
That's the drawing
that should bring us back to. When you feel in your heart, I don't want to be kind, go back to what Jesus did for you. Because he'll give you the strength there to go ahead and be kind to somebody. That I heard one preacher, you may know him if I say the phrase that he says, and others have said it too. Some people are like thorn bushes when you try to give them a hug. You just get pricked all over when you try to give them a hug. Hug them anyway. Hug them anyway, because eventually those thorns are going to fall off. You might get pricked in the process, but you're just wearing down the thorns so that they'll let somebody get close enough to love them again. So I want to take a few minutes and get down. There's other verses. I gave you starters. There's many more verses that talk about. If you're looking for things that deal with, I wanted to show you that kindness is in the Bible. It's there. Another word for kindness that you can study out is goodness. These words are related to each other. Another word for kindness and goodness is mercy. And the greatest of those words that you can study out is grace. And you can see they just line up. They just keep lining up. And you'll find out just how kind, just how gentle, loving, and gracious our Lord is. I want to talk about benefits. You know, if you go to a grocery store, you want to know the benefits of some of those products. What's it going to do? Is it going to help me gain some energy? Is it going to, you know, help whatever those healthy food things are? If you go to work out at a gym, or you're getting exercise equipment, you want to know the benefits. What's it going to target? What's it going to do if I use it? Well, one thing that you cannot forget about is that God does have rewards when we act the way that he wants us to act. There's benefits in doing the things that God says to do. Psalms 107, verse 20. Let's turn there. Psalms 107, I'll read a little bit more than just that one verse. Let me back up and go to verse 17. Psalms 107, 17, and I'll read down through verse 22. It says, "Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." This is a pretty dark and bleak picture of somebody's life. But verse 19, something changes. If you want something to change in your life, verse 19 is for you. It says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble," and all of us have had trouble. "And he saveth them out of their distresses." Church, you do not have to live in constant depression and stress, because you have a Savior who is there to help us get out of our troubles. Verse 20 is a benefit. What is one of the benefits of talking kindly and walking in the spirit of kindness and using the Word of God? It tells us right here. Verse number 20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Now, healing is all types of healing. But I want to point out to you that up in verse number 17, it's talking about a person that's heavy and burdened with trouble. This particular scripture is not talking about somebody that perhaps is just on their deathbed, sick, but they're burdened with heavy burdens, afflictions, and even some of their own iniquities of sin have put them there. But then they call out to the Lord. And the Bible says he saveth them out of their distresses. And verse 20 is something that we need to get a hold of as a body of Christ. What did he send to us to help us get out of our troubles? He sent his word. Well, if you never want to hear the word of God and you never open up your Bible, guess what? You're not being set free from those things that God needs to set you free from. And a lot of times we get angry at God and say, God, how come? How come today I'm still sick? How come today I'm still hurting? How come I just can't seem to get through this problem? Get back to his word because there's benefits in it. It's not just a pastor saying, read the Bible because God said to read it, and then I want to grade you whether or not you did a good job. The word itself has so much power and anointing and deliverance in it that this is the changing agent that helps us grow. So we need his word. The benefit is he heals us through his word. And he delivers us out of our destructions. Now listen to verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, his kindness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When you have a personal relationship with the Lord, it won't be hard for you to praise him. Because praise is just simply saying, God, thank you. God, I've known that you've loved me. I've received that. And when we sing the songs that we sing in church, we call them praise songs, but they really don't become a praise song until someone sings it from their heart of praise. Doesn't matter if you're on key. Doesn't matter if we have the best music. Doesn't matter if, we sing it exactly word for word. What matters to God is that we praise him from our heart, realizing that he's good to us. He's kind to us. He's given us his mercy. The Bible says his mercy is fresh and new every day. And so it's good to us. And then verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now, after you've been praising God, bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works. That word declare means go tell somebody how good God is to you. You know, there wouldn't be one product on the market that could sell and turn great numbers for a business around unless somebody started talking about that product. Whatever toothpaste brand you use, if you think it's the best and it's working and it just keeps your mouth real fresh, you'll probably tell somebody, at least in your family, hey, try this toothpaste. If you go across to a restaurant and you find a restaurant that just really, I mean, they have the best dessert in town, and every time it's just so good, you'll probably tell somebody, hey, why don't you go there? They've got, they make real good pies or cakes or whatever it is. By word of mouth, still today in the technology world that we live in, the best advertisement is word of mouth. The best way for somebody else to hear about Jesus is for you to tell somebody how good he is. And so we have that in us. If he's been good to you, he's been good to me. That's why I'm telling you about him tonight. I know where I was many, many years ago. And I feel like that person probably right there at verse number 17. And I did the very thing that the scripture did, cry out. When you cry out to him, he'll hear you, he'll answer. Let's quickly go over to Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to read a little bit of that, and we're going to wind this part of the study down. I haven't forgot about giving your candy to you. And I'm still remembering that we'll take up an offering as well. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to be honest with you. This passage of Scripture is some of the tough ones. all of Matthew chapter 5 is something that we should go back and look at. But let me just begin the first few verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. We're talking about benefits. Why should we take time to learn how to talk kind and walk in the spirit of kindness? Matthew 5, verse 38 says, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you," here's some of his soft words right here, "that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Let me explain it this way. I heard, and I need to give somebody else credit for this, but I can't remember who I heard this from, but it helped me when I heard it this way. One side of your cheek is the offense, and when you turn the other side, it's the side of forgiveness. So when the scripture talks about turning the other cheek, he's teaching us to forgive them. The one who just hurt you, turn back, forgive them. I don't believe the Lord would have you stand there and become a punching bag and let somebody just rack your face back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But I really believe the deeper part of that is when someone offends you, it's like a slap on the face. And then if you do what Jesus would do, turn the other face. And by the way, Jesus' face was beat up. And he... The first action is an offensive action, which feels like a slap. I mean, the expression is there. When somebody says those unfitly words to you, it feels like a slap in the face. I mean, have you ever been there? I mean, it just catches you that off guard and it hurts real bad. But in that moment, we need to grow to this. What God would teach to us is if in that exact moment, because this is how the Holy Spirit works, in that exact moment when you just got offended, if God can quicken in your spirit to forgive and turn that other cheek, it will forever put a mark on that person's life, because they will not be ready for you to forgive them that quick. And I don't think that the woman that had that situation in their life expected Jesus to forgive her that quick, but he did. And that's a great thing. These are some tough verses. Verse 40 takes it in a different light and says, "If any man will sue thee at the law and take away your coat, let him have thy cloak also," the inner and outer garment. Nobody would want to be sued. But can you imagine going into a courtroom and somebody's trying to sue you to take something away from you, and before you leave the courtroom, you're not doing it out of spite. You're not rising up and say, "Fine, if you want my coat, you can have this too." No. Soft words. Maybe it's your favorite shirt that you wore, a tie or garment, or it's a purse or something. The ladies carry the purse, by the way, guys. I just thought I'd clarify that. But you give it away. Have you ever given something to somebody that totally caught them off, unexpected, knowing that they really didn't deserve it? What about one of your kids? I mean, they just messed up at school. They didn't do their chores at home. And on the same day, you still gave them a gift. That would mess them up. Because they wouldn't be expecting it. But what would it do? It would forever leave a mark on them in their spirit that, why would somebody be good to me when I wasn't good to them at all? The Lord always has the desire to work on the heart of man and not just fix the situation of man. If someone sues us, we want that situation resolved. Judge, make it fair. But God does not want to just make the situation fair. He wants to change the person's heart. He'll use you and me to change another person's heart. Because anybody can say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Whatever you do to me, I'm doing it to you. Whatever you take from me, I'm taking from you. And back and forth, the tug of war goes. Anybody can do that. But only those in Christ who will let this kind spirit get on them. Remember, you got to put it on. So what we're going to be doing is we're actually putting it on tonight. Tomorrow, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you and somebody, because we're talking about kindness, guess what's going to be there tomorrow? Somebody's probably going to bring unkindness your way. And you're going to get tested. And maybe it's going to happen before the night's out. Maybe by the time you get to a red light or stop sign, there could be something unkind out there waiting on you. But what are you going to do? Let's close it out tonight. Verse 43 is just going to take us to the deepest part of this. It says, you've heard that it has been said that you shall love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Okay, sounds like a pretty good deal. I'll love my neighbors and I'm going to hate my enemies. Sounds like a good thing. You know, in the flesh, we can handle that. Jesus comes and changes it all around and says, but I say this to you. Notice that Jesus is the only one that brings this message. You'll never have this message in you until Jesus comes in your life. Nobody will act this way until they meet Jesus. I say to you that love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. To me, that has to be the toughest scripture in the Word of God. But how much love did Jesus bestow on us when he died on the cross? We were an enemy to him. We despitefully used anything we could. I mean, think of yourself before you found Jesus. You would probably not have liked to have met yourself because you had too much of you in the way. Everything's about you. Everything was about me. What can I do? What can I have? But Jesus changes everything. Church, we need to take time this year and let Jesus continue to change our life. People are doing the most evil things today. The news is so discouraging. There's people that need to hear about Jesus. And the best way that our church can help them find Jesus is to start being kind again. Because I will be honest with you, there's been moments and times within our church that the spirit of kindness has not been the thing that's been ruling in our church. Remember our young people. Remember that they're not always going to act exactly the way that we would hope they would in church. And that doesn't take away the discipline. But we got to remember that kindness is what's going to help win their heart. And show them the example. So what I want to do, I want us to pray tonight. And we'll take up the offering here in just a minute. And I'll get all the candy out. And then on your way out tonight, you can come and help yourself to some candy. But I want us to just right where you are, would you bow your heads with me tonight? This first part of the prayer, what I want to do tonight is maybe you feel like that kindness hasn't been there for you. I want to pray that the Lord Jesus and his kindness would begin to work on your heart to help you know that he loves you. And then I want us to move on into the prayer. And I want to ask the Lord, Father, I want to be one of your disciples. I want to continue in your word. And kindness is part of who you are. And I want to be like you. Just bow your heads and talk to him with me tonight. Lord Jesus, Every heart in this room is seen by you. The Bible tells us that man looks on the outside, but God, you look on the heart. You were there when every heart in this room had been wounded. You're there, Lord, when our own heart has risen up against us and we've not even been kind to ourselves. But Lord, I pray tonight that you would help each and every one of us to know that you bring kindness to us. Let us hear your soft words tonight. No, sin is not the right thing. You gave instruction to the woman that stood there guilty in sin, but you forgave her. You softly let her know that she was forgiven, but to go and sin no more. Lord, don't let us be comfortable in our sin, but don't let us be condemned where we can't hear the words of Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let us call unto you. We pray tonight, Lord, that in this church, that it not just be nice acts and good gestures, but Lord, that there be a spiritual change, that we can literally sense the very spirit of your kindness upon this church. No matter who would come in and sit down and be part of us, Lord, that we would treat them with kindness. We would treat them with the goodness of God. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just relieve us, comfort us as you will. Lord, just before we receive our tithe and offering tonight, would you bless this church? Lord, for every nickel and dime, for every dollar, for every check that's ever put into the offering plate, would you help us to use that offering to be kind to someone else and help them hear the gospel message, to be good stewards of the finances of the church, and to see your gospel message spread even greater. We give you praise for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you just put a little soft music on? I'm going to ask the church if you just come and give an offering, if you have anything to give at all. And I want to lay some things out on the altar, just some candy. Help yourself and enjoy it tonight.